Now I say I'm when we start. I usually tell you, hey, I'm rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rolling, is it?
I say recording.
You do say that. That's why I brought it up, because you just said it.
My wife just brought me coffee.
Yeah, it's talk about throwing me under the bus on your episode.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what she said?
Who under the bus?
No, she's still a little bit sad about the fact that I threw her under the bus about the whole filter thing.
I feel like I give you guys ratings.
Also coffee.
And coffee, yeah.
Yeah. How's that turkey pot pie coming?
I'm sure
no. No, you don't.
Hello and welcome to episode 303 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
What's going on, Adam?
Just came back. I'm like a jet setter. Just came back from a big trip to Nanaimo, British Columbia.
Prop setter.
Yeah.
It was not a jet plane, was it?
No.
Prop plane.
Yeah, little mini...
Dabbling beaver?
Yeah, otter.
Otter.
Yeah, a whatever you want to call, maybe 12, 15 people
mm-hmm.
sit right behind the pilot. If you want, they always let somebody sit in the cockpit next to the pilot.
Did you? Oh, you were with your wife, though.
I was with my wife, so we sat the seat right directly behind the pilot. So
I usually sit in the cockpit myself.
Oh,
when I can.
If I was by myself, I would have. I
say usually, like, I fly that all the time, but... In the times when I do find myself flying in those little float planes, I try to always sit up in the cockpit with the guy. Do you know why?
Bird's eye view.
That also cool. Those cool parts. But my thinking is, you know, if we go down, I can get out quickly.
Or in case the pilot passes out or something, has a heart attack, you can take over the controls.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that too. And I'm always hoping, like, partway. No offense, dude, hoping you have a heart attack. Take this in the spirit in which is intended.
Right.
However, yeah, you heavy smoker?
I'm pretty sure I can land this.
It's water.
Yeah, exactly.
How wrong can you go? Eventually, you're going to land.
And it has, like, pontoons on the bottom.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of painting the picture for our listeners who might not know.
They've all seen episodes of Danger Bay.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, probably. 20 minutes from Vancouver to Nanaimo, BC, which is on Vancouver
Island. Did you fly Vancouver or from the south terminal?
We flew from the, you know, whatever, I guess you would call it the south terminal, where the little flying beaver is.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So we did that 20 minutes to Nanaimo. My wife had a big presentation, and I just kind of like rode her coattails.
Yeah.
So I went along.
Yep. It's a great flight. I've actually, I say that. I've never made the Nanaimo flight, but I've done to Victoria and a couple of the Gulf Islands before. It's pretty awesome.
And bringing it around to a photography standpoint, I did bring my little Sony fancy point-and-shoot camera, and I snapped mm-hmm. a few photos on the way there from the plane. Kind of thought it was kind of neat, just something different. So sort of aerial photos. So I will post a couple of those on Facebook at some point. So they're bringing it around to photography.
So you shot some mid-flight?
Yeah, just takeoff, and there was a couple of neat scenic spots where I think around Galliano, there's like a sailing club, and so bird's eye view from the air. I don't know, probably about 1,000 feet, where you see the sailing club and the islands. And it's just kind of cool. It was kind of a nice day on the way there. I think I might have taken one photo on the way home just because it was cloudy and not so nice, not so scenic.
And then during the flight, you kept hitting the pilot in the back of the head with your selfie stick. Hey, everybody, get in here. Get in. Come on. No, get it. Whack.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been awesome. But no, I didn't do that.
I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's it.
And baseball season's over.
Well, for the Blue Jays.
Well, that's for all of Canada, really.
Yeah, I'm still loosely paying attention.
Yeah, well, see, I barely watched that series as it was. I'm a bigger fan of the Cubs Dodgers, anyways.
Right. Still going. Yeah. Maybe not by the time this airs.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely not by the time this airs.
Game six today is game six, or game seven would be tomorrow.
Game seven's tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
So hopefully it's all over now.
Yeah. Great. It was awesome.
You know what? I don't care as long as it goes seven games.
Yeah, I think it will.
I like seven games. Anything.
Clayton Kershaw's pitching, so it's going to go seven.
That is the reason to watch. But Arrieta has game seven, I think.
Yeah. So they're going to Cubs will win in seven. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm. Great. Who cares? Said everybody listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, other. Were you going to ask me about other interesting stuff, or just what's going on?
I was going to say first things first. If you're going to buy your flights, get them on Amazon.
Yes.
If you do, click through our site.
Sure.
I don't know if they sell them anymore. On there.
I don't think they do. Not here. Yeah.
But if they do, if you buy a float plane.
Yeah. Or at least a radio controlled one.
Do they have those?
Probably.
They must.
I'm sure they do.
They have radio controlled anything now. But obviously everyone's got the drones, but the float plane would be pretty awesome. That would be very, very, I think, region specific though.
Yeah.
Something tells me it would be very much like, it'd be very West Coast, Canada.
Yeah.
/ Arctic.
Maybe, yeah.
The end. I don't know where else they fly float planes.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Minnesota. I bet you in Minneapolis. Or Minnesota, sorry. I bet you in Minnesota, the land of 40 lakes or whatever they are.
Okay.
If you're listening in Minneapolis, let us know if float planes are popular. I bet they are.
Just another Amazon note. Update. Christmas isn't that far away. Get thinking about buying all your Christmas presents this year on Amazon.
Interesting.
Yeah, just throwing that out there for the listener base.
I find myself doing that more and more.
Well, it's guaranteed now for me, especially if you're sending presents to people that aren't in your neighborhood.
That is the move.
Oh, because now, especially if you're a Prime member, like I've got the Prime membership, and now, you know, if you are buying presents and shipping them, like you're going to change what you buy just because of the shipping weight, because it's going to add so much to the price, but with having the free shipping, I mean, that's how I'm sending everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just basically say, go here, present.
That's a conversation you're going to want to have with, your folks and their friends. Not necessarily a conversation you're going to want to have with their friends, but they're going to want to have with their friends. Like for instance, us living in Germany, you know, my folks, they still live in around Vancouver. And so for like the last few years, my mom has continued to purchase things in Vancouver.
Okay.
And then ship them to Germany.
Gotcha.
Which costs far, far more than whatever it is that she bought. And I said to her, well, why don't you just buy it on Amazon and have it shipped for free right to our house? Did not know I could do that.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Wow.
The only downside being is I do like when she buys the Canadian specific stuff,
right?
HBC route stuff like that.
Yes.
For the kids, I mean.
Yeah.
Anyways, when she does that, I know she clicks through our site.
Okay. Thank
you. All right. So, what is going on in terms of other cool stuff?
Photography wise.
We have a what's going on.
Do we?
I'll start then. I'll give you a hint. Yeah.
Okay.
I get a this is one of my gripes about living in Germany.
Okay.
I like it here.
Yeah.
For the most part. But as I've said before, we're full of Germans here.
Right.
And Germans have a certain way of doing things, and that's all written down in a well-organized notebook.
Okay.
And that is that. So for case in point, I'm not a German citizen. Here. I'm like, I guess what you would call like a, I don't know, landed immigrant or something. I'm all legal, have my visa and all that stuff, and I, you know, lifetime, etc. Except for my visa is essentially tied to my passport.
Okay.
In that, and so last year I renewed my passport, which means I have to just go and renew my visa, which is essentially, you know, I could drop $60 on a new visa. That's the end. But it's good for 10 years. What are you going to do?
Right.
So I go to, I get a notice in the mail. I go to pick, it's arrived at the foreign office, we'll call it. Ausländeramt.
Yeah.
And come get it. So I go down there immediately. I'm not a do things immediately kind of guy.
Okay, but you want this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care. I don't need it just yet. I'm not traveling for a little while, and so, but still, I'm trying to, you know, I say impress my wife, but really just get her off my back.
Okay.
By you know what? I'm going to seize the day. Literally, the mailman hands it to me. I look at it. Boom! I put my shoes on. Go right down to the Ausländeramt. I'm picking this up. I'm making this happen immediately. New leaf.
Okay. All right. Something goes wrong.
Get down there, 10 after 12, noon, 12 noon. Big sign saying, oh, yeah, new opening hours starting like this week. It's only open until noon.
Oh.
I'm like, all right. Well, like I said, I don't need it today, but it's a Friday, you know. Be nice. And so the whole building is open, but just the back section where the Ausländeramt is, that part's closed.
Okay.
So the doors are closed. They're glass doors. I can see people in there. So they've let people go in. They've all taken a number, and then they've closed it. So they'll deal with the backlog, but no new people coming in.
Right.
I can respect that. So I go to the front and say, oh, excuse me. Yeah, you got new hours, blah, blah, blah. Just trying to sweet talk the lady behind the counter. And she says, oh, yeah, you go back there and get it. Oh, yeah, they closed 10 minutes ago. So I kind of give her the look that I give in Canada, the kind of, huh? The look that just says, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And generally in Canada, they go, you know what? All you're doing is picking this thing up. I paid for it. There's no paperwork. All they have to do is literally hand it to me. Right. That's it.
Yeah. You're already Canada, here. You're here. I'm here.
In Canada, she, without even saying a thing, she would just say, give me a second. She'd walk back and get it, walk it out and hand it to me. That's how that would go.
Right.
That's not what happened. Just looked at me and went, yeah.
I guess we'll see you Monday.
Sign says closed. What are you going to do?
Right.
Closed. Geschlossen. Yeah. I didn't handwrite the sign in crayon like somebody did. It's like handwritten in crayon. Like the door was open. I could have just marched in and said, I even know the lady who works there. I've seen her enough times that I've dealt with her enough that she would probably walk over and hand it to me without even a word. But no, the rule was 12 o'clock.
Right.
Moving on with your day, sir.
Okay.
So for our German listeners. No, okay. No. I don't need
Keep
it.
Us posted.
Well, I can get it Monday. I'll go get it Monday. It's fine. Just, you know, it's not even a long trip. 15 minutes, you know, on 20 minutes on the bike. I don't care. Not the point. Point is, for our German listeners, I think they're going to know the very tiny hell I just went through that day.
Mm.
They'll know. They know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. A rule is a rule, my friend.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We wrote it down, sir.
Yeah.
12.
There's a reason for the sign.
Let me ask you a simple question. Is it before 12 noon?
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is on you.
I you know what? Stand by.
Yeah. I'm looking at your watch right now. I see that it's functioning. Your own watch, sir, says it's 12:09 and 30 seconds.
Right.
This is on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
And we brought the show to a screeching halt. What is your interesting photo stuff? I want to hear about that.
I can't remember. Oh, yeah. There's a hummingbird in our backyard.
Okay, so this segment is, hey, did you shoot anything interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, what'd you do? Hummingbird? Hmm.
My next-door neighbor has like 3 or 4 hummingbird feeders, so I just recently discovered this. I chat with him over the fence, you know, now and then. And
is his name Wilson?
No, it's not. But anyways, he was in the backyard, and I was basically had just dropped the kids off for school, and I had about a half an hour before I needed to leave for work. And so I can't remember what I went. I went outside for something, and then I saw him, and we chatted, and then we got on to talking about the hummingbirds because I saw all the feeders and he had a bunch of new feeders in his backyard. And anyway, so you know, he used to be into photography, older guy, and I saw the hummingbirds, and I said, I'm going to go grab my camera, you know, I'm going to take some pictures and see if I can capture, you know, the hummingbirds. He said, yeah, go for it. And so I grabbed my camera and thought, you know, this is a prime opportunity to try the 70 to 200 lens, because they're not very big. They are, I'd say, probably the size of my thumb. Mm-hmm. Never really spent much time observing hummingbirds before. This is probably the longest in my life by about tenfold. And there was two of them, and they are fast little buggers. Like, they'll hover, and I think that's where you see a lot of photos of hummingbirds just kind of hovering, mm-hmm. the wings moving a mile a minute, but they look like they're more or less standing still. And but then they dart in every direction real quick, so it's a bit of a photography challenge, to say the least. And anyway, so there's these two hummingbirds, different coloring. One was a lot darker, and one was light. And I don't know if that's a male female thing or whatnot. But anyway, snapped off.
Yes, it is.
Snapped off a bunch of photos in the sort of rapid fire mode, trying to just get them where they're still. And yeah, he's got some interesting sort of stuff around the yard. So depending on which way my camera faces, like, yeah, wildly changing backgrounds, mm-hmm. Because there's so much going on in his yard. Anyways,
like barbed wire?
This is like a sort of like a homemade sort of nest sort of situation.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I snapped off a bunch, and then I posted them on Facebook last night. So I knew I was going to use one for the, because we talked about long lens for a photo challenge. This is a good segue into the photo challenge. But I did post a bunch of others just because I thought they were cool. Because just the different shutter speeds, I should have listed when I post on Facebook. Maybe I'll go back and I'll add the shutter speeds, because I have some like 1/500th of a second with the bird sort of hovering. And then you see like a lot of motion blur. And then I've got, I think, one or two in there that the shutter speed's like 1/1250th of a second. So mm-hmm. so then you get pretty much like a wing that's basically looks like it's completely stopped. And just cool, something cool to photograph. And I know now understand why, you know, this is a photo that you see out there, because it's both hard to capture and it's pretty cool, especially when you get the wing blur. Like, I far prefer the wing blur.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever done this?
No. No, in fact, I tried to throw out the knowledge on you, and you just powered through, knowing full well I don't know what I'm talking about. Good for you. I'm kind of impressed.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Whatever. You don't know. No, I've never had occasion to photograph hummingbird. My instinct would be, hey, yeah, they're moving quickly. Let's get that shutter speed up as fast as we can. Like, in the case of the Mark 5D Mark II, that's, you know, 1/8000th of a second.
Yeah.
And the 6D is about the same. What is the 6D?
6D is 1/4000th.
1/4000th.
Yeah.
Oh, nonsense.
Yeah,
then.
That's crap.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
But regardless, that would be my instinct, because yeah, we want to freeze that. But then, on, you know, you take a deeper dive into it, I would think that a much slower, if you can get a shutter speed of like, you know, 1/80th of a second, where you have the hummingbird actually sitting still, like his head is still, but yeah, the wings are flapping, that might even be too much. Like, you might not even see the wings.
I did some. I didn't post all of them because I took about, I don't know, I probably had about 30 shots of the hummingbirds. But at 1/250th of a second, what I found was sometimes the wing disappears.
Right.
So there's a speed where, or one wing's visible and the other wing just basically looks like it fell off. Like, so I found for me, the sweet spot was about 1/500th of a second. And the other thing is, even at 1/250th of the second, it's not like their body or their head or eye, because you want that eye sharp and focus, is 100% stationary. They are like the vibration of the wings, like you can hear it. They're moving a tiny bit. So you don't get that sharpness, or at least that's what I was finding. I also am shooting at 1/250th of a second with an unstabilized lens at 200 millimeters, like some of it might be on me too.
Right.
But what I found was that at 1/500th of a second, that seemed to be, you know, my favorite sort of sweet spot, where you can tell the wings have this cool blur. You can clearly tell that it's you know, that those wings are flapping, but at the same time, the eye still sharp in focus and the rest of the bird sharp in focus. So that seemed to be, and then 1/1250th, again, it's too frozen for me. So you can see a tiny, tiny little bit of blur in the wing. And people, if they go on our Facebook site and look at these photos, they'll be able to pick out the ones clearly. But
also, if you give them to me, I'll put them on our website.
Okay, I can do that too. But yeah, anyways, pretty. I was trying to pump up our Facebook there. That was that was the sell. So
hear that, Zuckerberg?
Yeah. So there. Anyways. Yeah, fun. Just a totally one of those invigorating photography moments where you're like, I love doing this. Because, I mean, both of us, we shoot people a lot. And and it's just different. It's different when the challenge of this is, I don't know where this thing's going to go. It's darting all over the place. I don't know where my settings need to be. And the background's changing quickly. The speed and the shutter speed I need to change is obviously going to change when they change backgrounds for exposure. And it's a fun little game to play. Now, again, I guess what you got to do is go out and get yourself a bunch of hummingbird feeders and be in a place in the world where hummingbirds, you know, will be. But after that, you're good to go.
Now, what was your start to finish time on this? Like from first image to last when you had to go to work?
I maybe spent 20 minutes.
See, that's what I find the most impressive is that in the span of 20 minutes, you figured out exactly what worked and what didn't with the shutter speed.
Well, and part of it was because I was just hoping to capture these is that I basically said I'm going to, because I couldn't tell just by looking at the back of the LCD, nor did I spend any time chimping the LCD because I was just worried about trying to get these things because they're so fast. And then they're gone. Like they're there for 3 seconds and then they dart somewhere else and you don't know where they went. But my move was, okay, I'm going to start here at 1/250th, I'm going to take a few there. I'm going to take a few at 1/500th because I didn't know what was going to look good. I thought like more or less like exposure bracketing. I thought I was just going to cover the range and then I could decide afterwards when I had more time to actually look at the images.
Yeah.
So that was my move. Yeah.
One little add-on that I would do is something I've actually been doing more and more of lately is shooting this kind of thing with a tripod.
Mm.
However, you have a ball head, correct?
Yep.
See, my move in this case is to put the camera on the tripod using the ball head. Do not lock the ball head down so that you can still pivot all around. You can frame up your shot exactly how you want it because the hummingbird's moving, and then you just fire away. So it's not 100% stability. It's kind of like a three-legged monopod. But you're now adding stability to your 200 mil shooting.
Yeah, practically, I don't know if I could have done it just because how quickly they're darting around. I don't know if I'd be able to find them from the back of the tripod. You know what I mean? Like if I was down on it using a tripod and I have the way you're moving around with your camera, I don't know if it would really be practical. I guess it depends on the hummingbird and how still they're staying. But in this situation, like they were moving all over the yard and like I was literally standing on top of a stool over the fence and just like literally on a swivel myself, like up here, down right, like because there's two of them also. I would have needed an 8-foot tripod, but also I just don't think I could have found them with that extra variable, like being behind the tripod as well, as quickly as I needed to. Again, it'd be something that in my situation wouldn't have worked, but maybe there is one where it does work. I'm not ruling it out.
It works. It actually works. It's kind of a technique. I'm sure I didn't invent it. I'm sure Ryan Brennizer did.
Sure.
And, or some guy in the Czech Republic.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, he put a comic strip to it.
But I've been using that. I used it recently with some people shots, just because you know I want to change the image quickly, but I still want that stability, and so it's kind of a best of both worlds kind of situation.
Right.
All
people, 100%. I get you.
Yeah.
These things are crazy, man. These little birds are possessed.
Yes. If you have to start doing, you know, a lot of lateral movement and stuff, then it's a problem. Like if you have a nice field of view where you can pivot around, where you're pivoting anyways, with a little bit of practice, I think you'll get dialed in, and it might make things a lot more stable. But you'll let us know, or are your days of hummingbirds done?
Probably done. I think it's good. Like I've captured it,
nailed it, and moved on.
Yeah. One of our friends took skiing lessons. He's like 12, and did it last year. And he told his parents that this year, Mom, I think I'm going to do snowboarding. And and they're like, well, what about skiing? You were really liking it last year. He's like, yeah, no, I did that last year. I already know how to ski.
Well,
that's me. I know how to shoot hummingbirds. Now moving on.
Yeah. In some respect, I kind of like his attitude.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's why it came to me when I was thinking.
Yeah,
this.
No, did it. You were there. Bought the T-shirt.
That's right. Yeah. All right, I'm on to Pumas.
Let's get right into the photo challenge, because yours is a hummingbird.
Yes, it is.
Now, is this a wingless hummingbird, or this one's just resting?
Just resting, and that's why I love this photo, because it's different than any hummingbird photo I've ever seen, so much so that if we hadn't been talking about hummingbirds, you may not have noticed or realized that this was a hummingbird.
I would not have even seen the bird in the photo.
Really?
No, I would have. I'm just kidding. I'm just being a jerk.
Oh.
Calm it down.
I love the way the branches frame the bird. I just love it. Yes. And that's why I used it. Even though, I mean, in a perfect world, I would have had this thing hovering right there. I love the background. I love just how it sort of directs attention to the bird. I like the sort of angle of its head. I love the greens. Everything about it I loved, except for the fact that it's just perched still and it's a hummingbird. And to me, hummingbird's supposed to be in flight. Or that's at least what society's images of hummingbirds are telling me it's supposed to be.
So I
went against the grain here, which is why I said I have to post the pictures of the wings in flight, because that's kind of cool. So so that therefore, I'll send you those other pictures. But yeah, love the background. Love what 200mm lens does. This is uncropped. A lot of the other photos, the birds were further away from me, so I had to crop them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I decided to crop them. I guess I didn't.
This
have
is cropped
to.
Somewhat.
I don't think it is. I don't think
it's not 3x2.
I don't think I cropped this. Is okay, it? Is it not? Is it not the original?
It's 800x622.
Weird.
Instead of 800x533. So it's cropped in the sense that it's probably just reframed.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. And this one I intentionally meant to just leave as is out of camera, because the bird was actually really close to me for this one. Mm-hmm. And so basically I'm standing on the fence, maybe, I don't know, 3 feet away from the thing with the lens zoomed in. And it just perched there. And I love what a 200mm lens will do to a green background when you're this close range to your subject. So I just love how it blows out the greens in the background, but love how, you know, the stick's partly in focus, partly out of focus. So this is, to me, the brilliance of a 200mm lens. Even though this is an f4 lens and not a 2.8, you still get this just brilliant blowout to the background. So that's all there was to it. I think it's in a f4 and just zoomed all the way in.
I love this lens as well. In fact, I'm kind of at the point where I'm renewing my love affair with this lens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it got put away for a little while just because of, you know,
the bulk. It's the bulk. Yeah.
Yeah, I was shooting with the 85 a lot, and which I also still love. I'm not de-lovifying that one, but
it's a good word.
Yeah. Unless you're the 85mm lens, then it's not. But I find myself, I don't know if it's because my son's getting a little bit older and for some reason, and that it's just easier to shoot him with that lens when he's running around and not cooperating. I don't know. But I find myself shooting with the 70 to 200 an awful lot more again. And for this reason, like it really, really, it just looks great. My real world criticisms of this, and this could be my monitor, I always suggest that the colors look a little bit cool to me, which could be on purpose because it's October.
It was the season. They're daylight, so
right, and so like,
and it was in shade. Like it was definitely one of those mornings, and I didn't change it. Like I say, this is pretty much out of camera, so
I have no gripes with that. Like that's not an issue at all. But where I do find distracting is the blown out white part in the top left corner, because it's just like there's either too much of it or not enough of it. Like in my head, there should be none of it; it should be gone.
Mm-hmm.
and then you'll see, you know, it'll focus. If the background was much darker, as it was, especially with the fake barbed wire, if that was kind of like a little bit darker, and you could really hammer the bird. But to me, the only real downside is that top left corner with that blown out stuff coming through the leaves.
Yeah, and
it doesn't fit.
Yeah, and I totally looked at it too and thought, do I leave it? Do I crop it? And my thought was, well, I'm just gonna leave the full image because I kind of wanted to show what the 200 millimeter looks like uncropped. I thought it was sort of cheating to take a long lens photo and then crop it tight. That was kind of my feeling. So yeah, no, hummingbirds, that's where it was sitting. So it is what it is.
It's one of those situations where, I mean, you it'd be awesome if you shoot this, you know, at magic hour and don't have that in there, but how lucky are you going to get?
Yeah.
Not that lucky.
And if I was actually presenting this for print, I would crop this to get that out of there. So I'm on board with you there. Or I would Photoshop it if I really wanted to make it perfect.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As would I. So I'm glad you didn't, but
there you go.
Give us some time. Okay. That was 200 mils. Here's my shot at 200 mils. A little bit more of a controlled situation.
Yes.
So these,
they weren't just strangers. These are strangers in there.
No. These were friends of mine. Actually, it was part of a family portrait session, which I might mention on the next week's show. We kind of ran out of time, but during the did you shoot anything interesting? I'll bring that up. But this was actually hard because they were darting around a lot too, like hummingbirds.
Yeah.
like what's going on with you guys? No. They were obviously sitting. This was before we started. Like they didn't know we were shooting.
Right.
So I was getting them lined up and this is what it is. It's 5D Mark II, 70 to 200 at 200 mils. Probably an F5.6. The end.
What time of day?
Magic hour.
Yeah, just
well, late. Just prior. I mean the sun is still up.
Yeah, you get nice warm colors. It looks good. I like it.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and shoot this time of day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll deliver them this image to them as well. But like they wanted like the nice posed one of the two of them,
right?
But as they're getting ready, and I tell them I'm setting up my tripod as we discussed tripod, mm-hmm. but without locking down the head, started firing because they were having a little intimate moment, just talking to each other about I don't know dishwasher or something,
yeah.
And just snapped away, and I know that they'll like this as much or better than the pose shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this one is the situation where the 200 mil really makes, to me, makes the image.
And I mean, again, I think you hit on a good point there, which is for those of our listeners out there who are shooting, you know, family photo sessions or photo sessions for any reason involving people is, you know, shoot a few in between and without telling them beforehand, and you know, capture those candid moments that happen on every photo shoot. There are those moments, and I agree with you in that I often like them as much or better in a lot of situations than the actual, you know, posed photo. So
I like these in between moments so much that oftentimes at like parties, I'll just bust into people in the bathroom.
Yeah. No. No, what am I saying?
Wait, what is...
It's weird.
Were you rolling on that one? Adam, you sure sounded like me on that.
Yeah, that was weird. You hit on a funny topic, because this is an aside, but when I was in Nanaimo, just on the weekend, yesterday, I was at a, you know, nice restaurant. It was a nice hotel, and the bathroom at the restaurant was just one of those, you know... like I guess supposed to be locked from the outside doors, right?
The
restaurant bathroom is one of those like you walk up, it just says men, but there's like a handle on the outside of the door like
that
could theoretically be locked. It wasn't when I walked in, and it wasn't a situation where there was partitions. Just happened to open the door and see a man doing his
using the lavatory.
Yeah. Yes. And I was just like, okay. And then I closed the door and turned around. And the waitress looked at me. She's like, oh, yeah, there's another bathroom in the lobby. You might want to use that. And I'm like, yep, I sure do, because I really don't want to have a conversation with this fellow after.
Oh, see, I think you should have gone a different direction and just stayed in there and go, hey, man, what's up? How you enjoying the pate? Yeah? Good. How'd you find this place? No. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah. So anyway, so just that rings true because the moment is still fresh.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I dredged that up.
Yeah.
All right. So
moving on. Yeah, good photo. Yeah.
So while we're on the subject of sexy time, this week's topic is boudoir shoots.
Oh, what a great segue.
And unfortunately, it's actually the topic.
Yeah.
That is how we segued into the lovely Amber Hughes, with whom I spoke. How do you like that, English?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the proper way to say it.
Speaking to.
No, with whom I spoke.
Okay.
Who I spoke to, not proper. Not proper.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a dangling participle.
Sure.
I don't even know. Anyway, I spoke to Amber quite a few months ago, actually, because, as we mentioned before, she is really busy right up until this time of year, still shooting weddings and whatnot. And so I spoke to her a while ago because she has been doing boudoir photo shoots with the company, and I wanted to find out about that because I'm really, really unfamiliar with how boudoir photos work. Do we need any more intro? Amber's been on the show for a number of times now. I think we're good. If you don't know who she is, check her out at amberschwartz.ca. But
what?
I'll bet
Amber Hughes.
What did I say? Adam Schwartz?
You said Amber Schwartz.
Amber Schwartz, do not go there. That is that. I hate that website.
I don't know what that website is.
Yeah. It's essentially a glorified MySpace page.
Amber would be mortified by that introduction.
And Amber Schwartz is a big Metallica fan, which is evident on the website.
Okay, Amber Hughes, right?
AmberHughes.ca. You guys in your .cas. That's what's messing up my head.
It's our fault.
Check her out at AmberHughes.ca, but she'll say that, and we'll post a link. But without further ado, here is my interview with Amber.
All right.
Still no intro. I'm not doing it. We're just going to start.
Sounds good.
You're busy. I understand. So Amber.
Yes.
You shoot boudoir photos.
I sure do.
Thankfully. I was hoping that was a yes.
That's a yes.
I should have done my homework ahead of time. What is boudoir?
Well, essentially, boudoir photography is it's a portrait session in which a woman, and there are men too. I don't do boudoir. I'll just put that out there.
Is it a thing now? Is boudoir the name?
It is. I don't know that they call it boudoir. I call it that because I think it's hilarious. But male boudoir is actually starting to be a thing, and not in just a joking way. I've seen a lot of funny ones out there making fun of it, but there are actually serious male boudoir photographers out there, and they actually do an amazing job. But essentially, it is a session in which a woman either is naked or is wearing lingerie and has a series of photos taken of her in kind of sexy, provocative poses that she's either doing for herself or she's doing as a gift for somebody else.
Okay. Who does this? Who is the client typically that comes to you?
Well, you know, honestly, I get quite a few different clients. I wouldn't say that there's any one client. Typically I would say it's women ranging from their mid 20s up to, I've had women in their 60s. Mm-hmm. And they're almost always women who've never done this before. So it's something that they're kind of, you know, pushing themselves out of their comfort zone to do. And there's usually a reason. Either it's that they want to do something to boost their confidence, or it's something that they're doing as a gift for someone, like it's an anniversary or their wedding's coming up and they want to give it to their significant other as a wedding present. Those are usually the major reasons.
How old is this? Is this sort of, I don't want to say technique, what do we call it? The style, boudoir style. How far back does this go?
Well, boudoir goes back really far, actually. You can find boudoir photos that were taken even back at the in the 1900s, mm-hmm. which is amazing. I actually did a photo for a lady recently that she wanted to emulate a photo of her own grandmother that her grandmother had taken.
Like a boudoir photo?
A boudoir photo. It's not, you know, as provocative as the photos are done today, but it was her grandmother just looking beautiful in a nightie.
And it was taken by, and we
did something very similar. It was really pretty, actually. But it is something that's been going on for quite some time. It definitely went through a very cheesy phase, and I think a lot of people, when they hear the term boudoir, they think of, you know, like that kind of soft focus with like a brass bed and, you know, right. One of those like super long pearl necklaces and just like really cheesy over the top boudoir. And that's not... That's not what modern boudoir is these days.
Okay, I got to cross off my next six questions. It's all about the brass bed. Yeah.
Seriously, the brass bed. I think that when I hear the word boudoir.
But what about soft focus? Do you still do soft focus?
Oh, heck no.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. I mean, like, they do definitely airbrush more these days. They'll make the skin smoother and that sort of thing, but you don't, there's no soft focus. It just doesn't, it's not sexy. It's kind of cheesy. It reminds me of... the old Star Trek in the 60s, where like every time a woman was on screen, it would get kind of really blurry.
Right.
Kind of dreamy.
Shooting it through nylons or Vaseline lens, something like that.
That's just not what we're going for. We want to see what's going on.
Right. That's, you know, all those pixels. Let's use them. So now I didn't expect an exact answer of how old this is, because it has been going on forever. Probably one, you know, as soon as cameras were invented. That's,
yeah, let's take sexy photos. Pretty much.
And plus, that's why it's got a French name, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But when did it start becoming, I guess, the latest trend, the digital trend? When did it kind of pick up steam? How
that's
long?
A good question. Like, I've been doing boudoir for about 6 years now, and I would say probably... It had probably started getting interest at least a year or two before that was when I first started really seeing it, mm-hmm. The more modern stuff. So I would say probably sometime in the last 6 or 7 years was when it really started taking off. And it's definitely gone into a whole other world. Like it's amazing just the variety of poses and light and everything that I see now for boudoir photos.
And how did you get involved?
Essentially, I had seen some local photographers doing it, and I thought that looks like it would be really fun and very different from what I was shooting at the time. I was doing mostly weddings and portraits, and it's a whole other way of thinking and a whole other creativity. And so I decided to just jump in headfirst, and I shot my first boudoir session and really liked it. So I did a boudoir-thon not long after that, and followed by another and another, and that's how I did it.
And I guess it's mostly word of mouth?
Pretty much word of mouth. And then I also, when I did my boudoir-a-thons, I did some advertising for it, mostly on my blog and online.
And now, the reason I ask about the word of mouth, I mean, word of mouth is important in any kind of photography, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it seems extra important here because having never been a part of one of these sessions, I would imagine that there is a pretty important relationship between the photographer and
absolutely.
The subject.
Absolutely. And I mean, every single woman I photograph these days comes in extra nervous and not sure what to expect. And I think that having a friend vouch for the experience ahead of time can do a lot to actually make you feel brave enough to go in there and feel like you want to put your trust into that photographer and be vulnerable and let yourself be photographed that way.
And so how does a typical session go? Like once they've met with you and they come in, how do you warm them up?
Well, so essentially they come in, the first thing you do is you look through their garments and sort of get a feel for what they've brought in. You chat about, okay, well, you know, did you see any poses that you liked? Who are you doing this for? Like, basically you just talk to them about what their expectations are and what they're hoping for, and even talk to them about how they're nervous. I usually, like, I've actually had sessions done of myself, so I can relate to them, like, oh yeah, you know, like, even when I had mine done and I'm around this all the time, I felt nervous. It's just normal. It's a normal response. And, you know, but we'll get you through it and everything's, I promise I'll go easy on you. And I just try to make it very approachable and very relatable, to the point that by the time they're going through the first few poses, it stops feeling like this weird thing that's happening with a stranger, I feel more known at that point. I've told them some things about myself and related to them. And then it just does, it feels like we're just having a fun time.
So it's kind of a two-way street.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you do the full makeup and...
Absolutely, yeah.
And you have somebody come in for that?
Well, so what I'm doing right now, I guess I didn't mention that at the beginning. I'm not actually shooting boudoir on my own. I'm not doing it solo. I'm actually working as a contractor for a boudoir company.
Okay.
So they have hair and makeup teams, and the clients can book them ahead of time, and then that the hair and makeup will come in at the allotted time and do all that for them. And that's actually part of the warm up too, is they can chat them up as well and tell them about their own experiences. So it's just, you know, layers of us being relatable and friendly and upbeat.
Mm-hmm. Are there male photographers?
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there are males who do boudoir,
mm-hmm.
but I find that women are generally going to be more comfortable with a woman and a full female team. So it's in our business, it's just better.
I'm asking for a friend, just so you know. I'm not trying to get into it. No, it seems to me that it would be like my own awkwardness in that situation would make the two-way street really, really bad.
Yeah.
It would get things off on the wrong foot, and
absolutely.
Yeah. So I can see that you'd probably stick with a woman boudoir photographer.
Yeah, I mean, in my own experience, I wouldn't want to have a guy. It would feel really weird. So I think that it's just, it's going to feel more comfortable, and you're going to be able to push yourself to be more vulnerable with it when it's a woman who's photographing you.
Sure. What about repeat business? Do you get women coming back, and what's it like the second time?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There is repeat business. I think women come in thinking, oh, I'll do this one time, and you know, it'll be great, and I'll do it as a gift, and that'll be a story, right? And then they realize after doing it that was actually, you know, it's a great gift, but it's actually really empowering. I think that's something that a lot of women don't expect when they get there.
Empowering in what way? What makes it empowering?
Well, you know, so it's, here's the thing, is that we tend to be very negative and hard on ourselves. We're bombarded with these images of people looking perfect and gorgeous, and you know, you see yourself at the worst, and you're comparing yourself to people at their best, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you kind of get into this mentality of thinking of yourself a certain way, or, you know, not looking super sexy all the time or whatever. And the thing about doing the session is it gives you a platform to be able to express yourself that way, to be seen that way. And then when you see the photos later, you realize that you're an absolutely gorgeous person. And you see yourself the way other people see you, which is pretty amazing. I also find too, regardless of even seeing the images, pushing yourself to be basically nude and look fabulous and feel fabulous and express yourself that way can make you feel like you can pretty much do anything, because we tend to hide under layers in our lives. You know, we put on an outfit, we put on a certain attitude, we act a certain way, we're trying to appear a certain way to other people. And when you're naked and at your most vulnerable like that, it's, you know, that's the core of you, right? And having that photographed and having that seen and having that be beautiful is actually really liberating.
What would you say would be the one thing keeping people from trying this for the first time?
I think it's just the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of being in front of a stranger like that. People, I find, often are very scared until they get in and I start talking to them, and they realize that I'm actually really easygoing. Like, I think they assume that it's going to be like this really quiet studio with like all they can hear is the shutter clicking and I'm not talking, mm-hmm. and they're expected to do all the poses. I will actually kind of move people through all the poses. I'll make suggestions. I'll say, okay, let's do this next. Like, I, in no way am I just saying, okay, and be sexy.
Right.
I don't know. I like, that would be the most awkward photos ever. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think they're just expecting it to be this really kind of really surreal, awkward scenario. And it's not like that at all.
What about the people who are, I see my, in my estimation, and this is completely just a guess, is that you would get, you know, a lot of people in their 20s who would have no problem doing it, and a lot of people in their 60s having no problem doing it. Simply because in your 20s, you feel that you look great anyways. In your 60s, you feel like you don't care anymore. Yeah. Even though you do look great, blah, blah, blah. No, I don't want to get into that part, but you don't really care. But it's somewhere in your 30s and 40s are these weird, awkward phases.
Absolutely. And I do get a lot of women who come in and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't really love my thighs, or I don't like my stomach, or what have you. And the thing is that we can pose you to emphasize or de-emphasize just about anything on your body. So I always like to find out, okay, what's the areas that, you know, like I don't usually phrase it like that, but I ask them sort of what kind of poses do you like the most? And that usually opens it up for them to say, you know, I really don't love the way my stomach looks, mm-hmm. or what have you. And that's something I'll take care of making sure we pose around. And honestly too, and that's another thing, is that that actually can help you, seeing the photos later can help you realize that you might feel like that inside, but that might not be the way that people actually see you. It might be a huge problem to you, but when you see it in the images, you realize that it actually isn't as big a problem as you thought it was.
Right.
So I think that's really good too. And honestly too, I know a lot of people out there worry, you know, oh, well, I could really use, you know, tone up my stomach a bit or lose a few pounds or what have you. And that keeps them from coming in. And I would say that's the best time to come in is now. 100%. Don't wait. You will put it off forever if you keep thinking that way.
You're not getting younger.
Exactly. And I can guarantee that just about any person can walk in that door and look gorgeous.
Also, I have to feel that, you know, when I'm 80, I will have wanted pictures of when I was 30.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily a boudoir in my case, but if you know, for my wife.
Are you sure?
No, I'd take those myself. I have a timer. But yeah, that's...
Agreed. It's like when I get old, I want to be able to look back and be like, wow, look at me. That's amazing. And that I had the bravery to do that too. And that I wasn't afraid of exploring that part of myself. You know, I think that's a huge gift to yourself in the future.
Mm-hmm. And your grandkids can then replicate the photo down the road.
Well, our modern boudoir photos, they might not want to. They might want to bleach their eyes a bit.
That's true.
Seeing grandma that way. grandma.
Could be. So if you're thinking about getting boudoir photos taken, do not hesitate. Call Amber now.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, so where I'm working now, it's called Gloss Boudoir. It's in Vancouver. So if you want to shoot with me, that's the place to contact. And it's glossboudoir.com, I believe. Let me just make sure. Yes, glossboudoir.com.
And we'll put a link on our show notes. Once again, Amber, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
And we're back.
Yes.
Adam, you've been to a boudoir workshop.
I have. I think we did a whole episode on it at one point.
We did.
Did you go to that one?
No.
Okay.
No,
it was one of Dwayne's workshops back in the day.
Now, one of the things that you just heard, you didn't hear the interview, but everybody else did, is I feel like it can be a little awkward and not be quite the same connection if it's a guy shooting versus a girl shooting.
Really?
Did you? Well, from what I understand, when you're shooting non-professional,
that's the difference. I think that would probably be the case. It's also, I think, just a comfortable in my own skin thing, and I think there's probably a female comfort level with other females if they're not super comfortable in this kind of attire.
Right.
So that for sure. Cause yeah, but being the fact that when we did it, it was with models who, you know, are, I guess, always used to being photographed, whether it's a female or a male photographer, I don't think really matters to them. So yeah, that's the difference in the situation for sure.
But when we're talking about, you know, soccer moms who are doing this for the first time,
I think that probably definitely makes a difference.
The last thing they want is Adam busting in on in the bathroom. Clearly you have a history of doing this based on what you just told me.
Right. Yeah.
So
that fella should have locked the door. That's the point. There's a lock on the door. How am I to know?
No, you don't know.
Exactly.
That's what you should have done. Just sat there and chastised him for a good half an hour.
What's wrong with you?
Do you know
you?
How the door works? Do you know what a lock is?
It was like an eye slap to my face.
All right. You said wouldn't go back to that.
Okay, sorry.
No, but so you how did you find the whole shoot? Like, was it something that you would want to do with the uninitiated, or better left to the professionals?
Kind of like the hummingbird thing. Yeah, I did that. I already know how to do boudoir photography.
Right. I've perfected it. They're thinking of changing the name to Schwartz Photography.
No, I just think that it's one of those things that I mean, not that I wouldn't be comfortable doing it. I would be fine doing it. I think that it would not be something that my wife would be comfortable with me going into to the neighborhood women's houses and taking photos of them. So I think it's one of those things that if it was my only way to feed the children, then maybe I'd broach that. But because it isn't, I'm not going down that road.
Gotcha.
How about yourself?
As I told Amber, as it came up before, in somebody I knew wanted, basically a makeup artist, wanted to get, you know, some demo shots for her own portfolio.
Portfolio, yeah.
And I told her I would do it, but I really didn't want to. Just for that reason, it wasn't working with professionals. It was going to be something I was just kind of unfamiliar with, and thought, this is not my wheelhouse.
Right.
And ended up falling through. She didn't need the shots, and so it kind of worked out for me. But in the situation that you did it in, definitely always happy to learn new things and broaden your wings. But see how I kept it with the hummingbirds?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to pursue it as a job either.
Okay.
Leave it to Amber. If you got it narrowed down to either me, Adam, or Amber, I think you have your answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Amber has never busted in on me in the bathroom. Not once. I stand behind that.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Photo challenge for next week.
Well,
I bet you've got one.
I think we have to, right?
Uh-huh. St. Martin's Day.
Halloween.
I already... okay. Fine.
Halloween. Because this will come out on Halloween, this podcast.
This will be on Halloween morning. That's right.
Yeah.
So a little bit looking into the future, technically.
All right, yeah.
We can do it. All right, we'll shoot something in prep for Halloween. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and sometimes on the Two Hosers Facebook page. And what about your stuff?
You can find my stuff at AlanAdridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find... I'm sorry, in the middle of that, a joke popped into my head and it just made me laugh.
Was it going to have something to do with the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the two of us at someone's bathroom.
Yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry about finding us. We'll find you. We'll just bust in on you. Hey, I'm Adam. You might even know me from... No, go ahead. Check me out at twohosers.com.
Oh, no. And the hoser name, too.
Well, they'll know because I'll be wearing the shirt.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell them I'm you, though, of course. not my first time.
All right. Let's bring it home. Bring it home.
The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and photos and everything we just talked about. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.